SBS Radio.
Wadamuli, I'm Kerry Lee Harding and this is NITV Radio. And coming up for you now, a yarn with the Senior Australian of the Year for 2021, Dr. Miriam Rose Ungermer-Bauman, AM. Congratulations on being awarded the Senior Australian of the Year 2021, Auntie. How did it feel last night when your name was called out for winning this very special award?
Very excited and shocked and shaking. My heart was beating fast. But I made it up to the stage.
I saw you on television on stage with the Prime Minister.
Yeah, help me up the steps.
Well, that's lovely.
It was good, yeah.
How will you celebrate being named the Senior Australian of the Year 2021? I understand today you do a lot of media, but are you going to have time to celebrate with you and your family?
That's enough of my celebration here in Canberra, but when I go home, I'll probably just have a dinner with my family.
That sounds really lovely.
Rest of my family, and then maybe we might have a barbecue later on with our community.
You are an Aboriginal elder from Nauyoo, which is Daly River in the Northern Territory. You are also a renowned artist, an activist, a writer, and a public speaker. Will they be celebrating your win up at home today?
I reckon so, yes. Oh, not today. They'll probably wait until I come back, yeah. But, yeah, a lot of the family members are really excited. My phone's never stopped ringing ever since last night. I might have got over nearly 1,000 or more messages through. Even Michael Long texted me.
That's lovely, Auntie. Look out, eh?
Hey, Michael Long, yeah. And he said, hey, Mom, congratulations. It was beautiful.
Now, it was back in 1975 when you actually became the very first Aboriginal person in the Northern Territory to become a qualified school teacher. Of course, later becoming the principal of the local Catholic school in your community.
Yes.
What has your journey been like since that time back in 1975? You've done many things, Auntie.
It made me a better person that I could face what the world is like now, you know, better, and also getting new ways of helping our people and our children in our community, going out and passing on the messages and saying, come, sit on country with us and come to get to understand us. Come and visit us so that you can understand us better. You know, we've done the hard yards, getting to know you in the wider community and learnt how you function and live in the communities and towns and cities. Come and see how we do things in our place.
And it was only, as I mentioned, 1975 when you did become the very first Aboriginal person in the NT to become a qualified school teacher. What was that actually like, having to, I guess, educate the education department as well about Aboriginal issues and the struggles that we face as people?
Virtually I had to go through this process of learning myself how to deal with those issues, as in becoming a teacher and helping our kids and families. And look, it was a new thing, even just for our people in the community, feeling that, you know, in our world, it's men's world, and they were the law givers, you know what I mean? Mums and nanas and all those aunties were always out looking after everyone else. And making sure there's tucker there and everything. And I had to go through that as well in getting my people to understand what it is, you know. I'm the same part as that non-Indigenous teacher that's working in a school and working with our kids, you know. But I'm kept saying that, you know, maybe it's good that I've become that. Like, as a teacher, we've got the same qualification and all that sort of thing. And maybe it's good for me to be a teacher, because children will feel better too to have a local person in front of them, you know?
I remember when I was back at school, it was the 1970s, and we weren't lucky enough to have an Aboriginal teacher, but it was my mother, in fact, who would come down and do, I guess, what they call cross-cultural workshops today. Mum would come and bring the artefacts down from our community of Cherbourg, and Mum would make damper, and I remember being filled with such a sense of pride when my mum would do this, because through the whitefella system, I wasn't learning blackfella education.
But I do that now too, have the kids for culture and all that sort of thing, and their teacher's part of that workshop as well, that lesson. They've got to come and learn and understand, you know, name places, sacred places, where our families are buried. You know, they didn't necessarily be buried in a certain cemetery. They're all over the place, you know, before we settle in a community like now, where we've got now places where we can bury our people. But we take them out bush and say, this is where your great nana is buried, or this is where your dad's brother's buried, or something, you know. And then, oh, this is such and such a place, that sort of thing. And also talk to them in language as well.
And that's so important for our younger people to know our older people and the important work that they did in our communities, eh, Auntie?
Yeah, and let them know that, you know, or ask them or teach them that, you know, this is your language group and these are your extended, immediate and extended families, and that this is your homeland, you know, the name place of their homeland. These are your dreaming, you know, the different animals or birds, that sort of thing. And so the kids, you are going to ask a six-year-old and they'll tell you, I'm from that tribe, that's my dreaming, and this is my homeland, that sort of thing, you know.
Oh, that's so cute. So cute. And so important, Auntie, that you still this work today. Even you've been named the Senior of the Year and you're still continuing to educate 5- and 6-year-olds. That's incredible.
From preschool up to seniors. And I'll tell them, you know, because we've got a big park around the community and all different birds come and, hunt and forage on the park. And then I say to them, you don't let it go around there and killing all them birds over there or the magpie geese or whatever. They're my pets. And they instill in them nature is part of where us, as in, you know, in the 6,000 years that our people walked this land, and now we're here. It was nature. We had to, nature talks to us, and we talk to nature. And how that happens is, well, it tells us, you know, that tree's flowering. Well, it's time for us to go and collect that berry, or go and get ducks, or geese, or whatever, you know, turtle, water lilies, all the bush ducks.
Making me hungry for water lilies now. When I used to live up Barunga there in the Northern Territory, I was 11 years old and the young people would take me out to the local creek and I would eat them water lilies. Yum.
Yeah.
You also received the Order of Australia Medal back in 1988. What was this experience like?
It was exciting because, I don't know whether if you've come across my teaching us in the Aboriginal spirituality, which is called Da Diri, deep listening, silent, still awareness. Da Diri? Yeah, that I went and spoke about that.
Yeah, the year of bicentennial.
It happened in Tasmania. And I was scared going there because of the history of that place, you know. But it turned out to be a really great day. And then at the same time as I was in Tasmania, but in the same year, I received that Order of Australia Medal.
You also, among many of your list of achievements, Auntie, you were also recognised for all of your hard work in education and awarded an honorary PhD in education from the Charles Darwin University. From your experience, Auntie, working in education for so many decades now, how important do you think it is, education, for young Indigenous Australians?
What is this place? I reckon there's going to be more work for me coming up.
More work, eh? I think you're going to have a busy year ahead, Auntie, eh?
Yes. And yeah, that's what I say. Watch this space and see where we go.
And talking about watching this space, there is also the Miriam Rose Foundation. Can you tell me just briefly about the foundation and the good work that is done there?
I've set up the foundation to help, again, our kids in our community. And I've got four pillars, education, opportunity, arts and culture. And sometimes it's not easy doing this and to try and bring kids and families together. Involve a lot of the parents, nanas, aunties, to come and be part of what we're trying to do, and even have elders go into the school, like you're saying, your mum just goes into the classrooms, and have elders come and get the kids in the classroom, or jump in the bus and go on that trip every day, different classes, and go on a culture trip around the region or district. You know what I mean?
Sounds really good, Auntie, eh?
Yeah, it is.
Now, being the winner of this amazing award, the Senior Australian of the Year Award, what do you hope this award will now allow you to do for Australians over the next year here in 2021? I know you said earlier, watch this space, but what do you hope this will do and allow you to do in your work?
There'll be people out there, you know, in different parts of Australia will come and support us. And I was saying, like, you know, it's easy for them living in cities and towns because everything's at their fingertips, you know. At home, we have a difficult time in trying to find the right thing to make things better for our people. And by inviting people to come out and sit on country with us, you know, they can learn more about the difficulties that we have in some of the things that we would like to make our place better and our people live a better life, you know?
Yeah, I completely understand, Auntie. And it goes both ways, eh? Education for us mob?
Yeah. It's not just us mob go and learn about how the Ballanders live, you know, and I've gone as far as I can go and learned all those things. I'm in my spirit and mind, I'm worldly. I haven't been able to dream enough to go overseas yet, even though I get a lot of requests. It's too scary going over there.
I understand,
Every cities and towns in Australia I've been to, you know, either at guest speaking or visiting schools that have been asking for me to go and visit and work as an artist in residence for a week, and then I asked that school to come back and visit us in our community, you know? So, like, exchanges, and they come and stay with us for a few days, and we show them around, take them out, hunting, gather orderly seeds, and...
Oh, lovely.
You have a cook-up, bushwhacker, yeah. And I say, look, you come here, it's for the long haul, you know? You just don't go and jump back in your buses and fly off back down south. You finish your studies, you come and become somebody, you know, like a doctor or a teacher or a builder or a lawyer or an accountant. And they do, a lot of them. Some of the schools have been coming up to Nauru for the past 16 years.
And you just mentioned there your homelands of Nauru, which, of course, we know English way as Daly River. Yeah. And I guess over the many years, you must have inspired a lot of children who've now grown up to have careers of their own. And this must be amazing to watch. I'm sure there are children who've been inspired by you and your teachings.
Yeah, we sent kids out to, like, boarding school, you know, as part of our pillar from the Miriam Rose Foundation. Our kids go to boarding schools, whether in Darwin, Alice, or interstate, and a lot of them, you know, drop out. Some of them make it through to ending up coming back with completing matric, you know, and so on. Yeah, and we've got a few people that are thinking of, or have, well, one of them has been through Flinders, and she's completed her studies, and wants a degree in either as working in sport and rec or teacher, yeah, that sort of thing. And hopefully, touch wood, there'll be more after her, and we'll try and find where would be a best place for them, whether it's Charles Darwin or some other. I got my degrees from Deakin in Geelong.
Any final words from you today on winning the Senior Australian of the Year award, Auntie?
Please come and visit. I'd love you to come and visit us in the community of Nowyer. You're welcome to just as much as the Westerners, non-Indigenous people. They're most welcome and see what our community is like, what life is in places such as communities that we live in. And it's just not Nowyer. We've got many communities like you're aware of, and you said you were living in a community and I met up with a lot of the kids.
That has made me into the woman I am today, Auntie. Those beautiful experiences that I'll never take for granted, eh?
Sure. And, like, we're in the digital era now. And I never had that when I was growing up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
No money, no fast cars, TV, mobile phones, nothing. But now the kids, they get easily influenced by all of those things.
Mm.
Times mobile phone rules their life, you know?
Too much, so I know. In my family, too much.
Sure, and then there's drug and alcohol, that sort of thing, you know? So we do our best to try and keep kids out of that those sort of places, like the detention centres in Darwin or wherever, you know? And do our best to walk with them.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.